Shall we pray together before we do anything else? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much that in the busyness of the Christmas season, we have this opportunity to slow down and to focus on you and on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, please stir our hearts this morning as we see what good news the gospel is. Amen. Well, the day has almost arrived, hasn't it? Tomorrow morning, we will wake up on Christmas Day. Millions of households will be woken up in the early hours by excited children. We've had weeks of Christmas ads on television, sparkling lights inside and outside the home. School is out. The food has been bought, ready for people to descend on us. We've got 21 people coming to our house over the next 4 days. The gammon is on the stove at home as we speak. And tomorrow and the coming days will hopefully be full of food and fun and family and presents. And we get the excitement of the season, don't we? And this morning, we're going to be thinking just briefly about the greatest gift ever. One which brings us joy and peace and comfort. And not just for a day or a month or a year, but for an eternity, forever. But before we get there, we need to think about some bad news. Take a look at our verse. I'll put it up on the screen for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the first thing we see is the bad news, the wages of sin. Every month in my email inbox, an email appears with my payslip in it. It tells me how much I've been paid for the work that I've done. I mean, it also tells me some more depressing things, like how much tax has been taken from me and national insurance and student loan contributions. But it shows me my wage, the money I deserve for the work that I've done. That's what a wage is, right? What you deserve for what you've done. Well, Paul, in this morning's passage, tells us we've all got a wage slip. It looks something like this. Sorry if that's a bit small. Name, Adam Thrift. You can add your own name in place of mine. Work done, sin, lying, selfishness, failing to love others, ignoring God, cheating, stealing, and so on. Payment owed, death. Not just physical death in this life, but eternal death. Facing God's judgment after death. Friends, this wage slip is bad news, but it's what we deserve. We've earned it. We've done the crime, and we deserve to do the time. The trouble is that the crime is against an eternal God, so the time is also eternal. That's the bad news of today's passage. But there is good news in this passage as well. The gift of God. Take a look at our verse again. For the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. There are four things that we need to know about this gift. The first is that it's free. The nature of a gift is that we don't receive them as compensation for work done. They're not wages. We haven't done anything to deserve gifts. Gifts are acts of generosity. When kids wake up on Christmas morning and they discover a stocking hanging over the fireplace or presents under the tree waiting to be opened, those gifts are not there because they deserve gifts, or because they've earned gifts, or because they have the right to receive gifts. Those gifts are there because of the generosity of parents and grandparents and siblings and aunts and uncles. It's like that with this gift. The same is true of the gift of God. We don't get given it because we deserve it. We get given it because God is generous. It's not what we deserve. We deserve the wage slip. But what we get offered is a gift because God is the ultimate generous parent. Second thing to notice is that the gift is eternal life. Most Christmas gifts don't last, do they? The games or gadgets that people receive become obsolete as soon as the latest upgrade is out. The bike breaks. The socks get holes in them. I seem to receive only three gifts from my family and my in-laws and my mum. Three gifts on rotation: coffee, whiskey, and books. That's it. Coffee, whiskey, books. And I'm not complaining because I love coffee and whiskey and books, but they don't last, do they? The coffee gets brewed, the whiskey gets drunk, the book gets read. They're temporary. But the gift God offers us is eternal. And now it's really important for us to recognize that when the Bible talks about eternal life, it's talking about two things. It's talking both about the duration of eternal life, that it will last forever, but also about the quality of life. Now, this isn't just life that lasts with forever, but because it's life that lasts forever with God, it is the highest and most perfect quality of life that we can imagine. Perfect life beyond the grave, with no more tears, no more terror, no more trouble, no reasons to mourn, no aches and pains, no conflict, no loneliness, no isolation, no poverty, no cost of living crisis, no corruption, no crime, no cruelty, no sin in my heart contributing to that brokenness. Now, what's on offer here is perfect, peaceful life that lasts forever with God. That is an awesome gift. There is nothing that could possibly be waiting under the tree tomorrow which is more exciting than perfect, peaceful life that lasts forever with God. And take a look at our verse again. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This gift is only possible because of Jesus. Jesus had a very different wage slip to us. His Jesus' wage slip. Name, Jesus. Work done, well, he's always good, always loved God, always obeyed God, always cared for others. Reward for work done, perfect, peaceful life that lasts forever with God. And what happened at the cross was a wage slip swap. Jesus never sinned, so he never deserved to face death and judgment. But when he went to the cross, when his body was broken and his blood was shed, he took the punishment for our sins. He took our wage slip off of us, and he gave us his wage slip so that we could have the reward for his perfect life. He made it possible for us to have an eternal life with God. We cannot have Christmas without thinking ahead to Easter. And there's no hope in a Christmas that doesn't lead to the cross. God's intention in sending his son was always to have him go to the cross and rescue us, to offer us this gift of eternal life. When the angels appeared to Joseph, they said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The angels appeared to the shepherds and declared, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." After Simeon saw the child Jesus in the temple, he sang, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." John wrote possibly the most famous words ever penned. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The plan was always for that baby boy to grow up and go to the cross to win us that gift of eternal life. Christmas is not about what we deserve. It's about the generosity of God in sending us a Saviour and in offering us the free gift of eternal life through him. But what's our response to be? That's our final point. We really should gratefully receive it. I don't know if you've ever been in a group of people who are doing Secret Santa, maybe work colleagues or friends at a sports club. But Secret Santa is where you all put your name into an anonymous drawer, and you get someone else, and someone else gets you, but no one knows who's got them. It's a secret. On an allotted day, you gather together, pile up the presents in the middle, and take it in turns to open your gift from an unknown giver. It's fun, but brothers and sisters, I don't know if it's just me being weird, or whether it's a quirk of English reserve, but I do find opening gifts in front of people who aren't my immediate family a little bit awkward. I never quite know what to do with my face. I'm never quite sure of the right words to say. I'm grateful for the gift, but I feel a bit odd about the public opening of said gift. Not so with my nieces and nephews. Kids know how to receive a present, don't they? You watch them, and as you hold it out to them, there is no hesitation, no embarrassment. They grab the gift with both hands, hopefully saying thank you, though that's not guaranteed, before tearing off the wrapping paper with almost manic enthusiasm. Friends, that is a right response to someone's generosity towards us. Eager and grateful acceptance. Taking hold of a gift with both hands. Well, the same is true with this gift. That God is offering us perfect, peaceful life forever with him. We do not deserve it. But thanks to Jesus, we are offered it as a gift. The question is, will you receive it? And maybe you're here and you've never received this gift before. Well, it's really easy to do. It's as simple as praying A, B, C. A, accept that you are a sinner who deserves to face judgment. Accept that the wages of sin is death. B, believe that Jesus swapped wage slips with you when he went to the cross. And C, commit to following him as your Saviour and King. It's that simple. Think about it, friends. A, B, C, and eternal life can be yours. If that's you, if you'd like to receive this gift, then Pete or I would love to pray with you after the service. Do come and grab one of us, and we'd delight in explaining the gospel to you again and praying with you. But maybe you're here and you've already received the gift. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time. Why not take this morning as a reminder of the good news of God's free gift of eternal life before the busyness of the next few days descends on you. Remind yourself that whatever may happen this Christmas, you have already received the greatest gift of all. That you have an eternity of peace and perfection with your Saviour to look forward to. Why don't I lead us in a prayer of thanks for this free gift? Father, thank you so much for your generosity in sending your Son to rescue sinners like us. Oh, Father, thank you that we do not deserve this gift, and yet you delight in lavishing your grace upon us. We did not love you as we ought to, but you loved us by sending Jesus to die in our place. Our Father, thank you that even though we are unfaithful towards you, you are faithful and you offer us forgiveness through your Son. Lord, thank you so much that even though the wages of sin is death, that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen.